Good morning, everyone. Today is the 1st of December, 2018, and we didn't get to our little Bible study last night in my father's house, so we've decided to do it this morning for part of the morning devotional. And I have Mark with us this morning, and he's going to participate with me in this, and it's good to have him aboard. And doesn't Mark have a nice smile? I think he does. And I've always enjoyed taking pictures of Mark because he always has he's very, what do they call it when someone takes?
Kosher.
What?
Kosher.
No, I was thinking of someone that takes pictures really well. Can't think of the word now. But I have to keep him looking at the camera because he looks away a lot.
Camera perfect or something?
Yeah, that'd be good. That's the camera right there. Mm-hmm. Okay, just so you know, right there, that little green button. Mm-hmm. We've been working through Edward Henry's booklet. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The surprising answer to the most important question ever asked by Edward Henry. Well, we are working through chapter 3, and if you tell somebody today what you have done, this answer bears little resemblance to Jesus' reply to the rich young ruler. Now, what most people say today in Christian circles, if you want to call it Christian, it's really the furthest thing from Christianity. They say that unregenerate men, a person who's dead in his trespasses and sin, can repent and believe.
Yeah.
They can't. Any more than Lazarus could raise himself from the dead. They say that Christ died for the sins of every man individually. Well, I don't believe that Christ died for Judas. I don't believe Christ died for Esau, according to Scripture. It says that it would have been better if Judas had never been born. According to Scripture, it says that Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Most of the Arminian preachers will say that committing oneself to Christ or deciding for Him or coming to Him is an act which the sinner can do as he wills at any time. That is, it is an act of free will. Well, like I've said many times, that's one of the reasons that I have written this book, The Lies of Free Will. Do you control your own destiny? You don't control your own destiny. You're not in charge of your own destiny. God is. I'm going to let Mark read. Good morning, Satisha Hall. Welcome aboard. I'm going to let Mark read this section right here.
Right here.
Start here.
Okay.
To here.
But look, you got to look. To start here to here.
Down to here. Here. Okay. Here, look. You've got to be looking at the camera.
Although God may be said to have taken the initiative in a general sense by sending Christ to die to make salvation possible, in any particular conversion, it is the sinner who takes initiative by coming to Christ, and it is God who responds. Now let us compare these doctrines with the teaching of Scripture. The unregenerate man cannot believe the gospel because it is foolishness to him. Spiritual truths are spiritually discerned, and he lacks a requisite faculty. Being spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, 1 Corinthians 1:18, 2:14, Ephesians 2:1.
Well, we happy morning to you as well, Satish, and we love you. And I'll be your uncle. That's fine if you want to call me uncle. Well, it follows that we must be born again, which is a sovereign act of God, before we can repent, before we can believe, before we can do anything. Faith in Christ is the gift of God. Thus, salvation is holy for the Lord, a holy of the Lord. Welcome aboard, Esau Malti. Top of the morning to you. Jesus Christ takes the initiative. John 3, 3 through 8, Philippians 1, 6 and 29, and John 2, 9, and 1 Peter 1, 2. Well, we also see that there is no gospel commanding scripture to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Okay? No one can have legitimate assurance of this until he has been saved and can make his calling and election sure by wholehearted trust and obedience. Rather, the gospel command is to repent and believe in Christ as the only Savior, believing his promises and casting oneself on his mercy. We have already seen that Christ died for the elect, or for those who believe. John 10:11-16. John 15:13-14, Romans 5:6-11, Ephesians 5:25-27, and Hebrews 9:15. This modern gospel is presented with no hint that God is sovereign and active in drawing to himself those whom he has chosen. In Scripture, these truths are not hidden lest they should cause offense. They are declared and then emphasized. Since God is glorified when man can boast of nothing in himself as the cause of salvation. I contribute nothing to my salvation except the sin from which I need to be saved. Acts 3:48, Matthew 11:25-30, John 6:63-65, and 15 and 16, Romans 9:14-24. So I'm going to have Mark read this section right here, this down through here. Okay.
Yeah. Is implied that Christ's death merely made salvation possible for all, salvation becoming actual only on the condition of belief. But the scriptures, without exception, speak of Christ's death as actually effective in itself because of its substitutionary nature to redeem, reconcile, ransom, and save to the uttermost. Romans 5:10, 2 Corinthians 5:21, Ephesians 2:13, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, 10, Hebrews 10:10, 1 Peter 1:18-20, 1 John 4:10, Revelation 1:5.
The helplessness of man of his unregenerate nature must first be born again before he can believe. By the sovereign election of God. Christ said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John 10:11. The Jews later approached Jesus at Jerusalem and asked him if he's the Christ. Jesus states, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and none can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. John 10, 25 through 30. Well, I'm glad, Esau, that you're working in India, and you're working with the churches and the orphanage there. And may the good Lord continue to be with you in your work there. Jesus is explaining that his sheep are elected by his grace through faith. Notice that Jesus did not say they are not his sheep because they don't believe. He instead states that they don't believe because they are not his sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd who gave his life for his sheep. Those who do not believe that he is the Christ are not his sheep. Jesus did not lay his life down for those who do not believe in him. 1 John 15:19. Jesus makes the point that he chose those who would believe in him out of the world. Jesus' sheep do not choose him. Jesus chooses his sheep. John 10:26-30 and John 15:16. The great love Jesus had of laying down his life for his friends is limited to only those who are his sheep, his chosen. Those passages put an end to the modern nonsense that John 3:16 means that Jesus died for every person in the world, both saved and unsaved. Now I'm going to let Mark read this section right here.
Yeah. Down here?
Yeah.
The point was not lost on his disciples. They concluded that if the rich ruler in Luke 18 could not be saved, that it was impossible for him to be saved. They asked Jesus who could be saved. Jesus explained that salvation is impossible for man, it is only impossible for the power of God. And they heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which were impossible men are impossible to God. Luke 18:26-27.
Okay. So we see that Jesus explains that it is impossible for man to attain eternal life by his own efforts. Eternal life must be originate and come from God. The first point Jesus made with the rich young ruler was that no one is good, only God is good. His point was that all men are evil. Then Jesus confronts that man who, with his evil nature, and tells him that in order to have eternal life, he must have perfect righteousness. The man claims to be perfectly righteous, but Jesus exposes the falsehood of his claim by telling him that in order to be perfect, he must sell all his goods and give the proceeds to the poor, and then come and follow him. The key to what took place is when Jesus made the statement that it is impossible for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus illustrates the point by stating that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. He then explains that what is impossible for man is possible with God. Jesus teaches that man of his own efforts can't possibly be good enough to gain eternal life. God must make it possible. It is all of God. Well, we're going to conclude there this morning, and hopefully this has been helpful to see the distinction between the Arminian gospel and the lies of free will and the Arminian false gospel. May the good Lord be with you this day is my prayer. And this Saturday morning, may you have a good day and a good weekend. God bless. Thank you, Mark.
Yes.